Welcome to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte, a program where executives and federal government leaders talk about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today to help government help America. Today, we're going to talk about the state of federal cybersecurity and the state of the cybersecurity workforce. And we have two honored guests joining us on the show today, General Harry Radaghi, the former director of the Defense Information Systems Agency and four-time federal agency CIO. He's now chairman of the Deloitte Center for Cyber Innovation and a director with Deloitte Services. And Mike Gellis is a former chief psychologist for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, or better known as NCIS, as you've seen on TV. Currently a director with Deloitte Consulting's federal practice in Washington, D.C. He specializes in the area of human capital management with an emphasis in cybersecurity workforce issues. Gentlemen, a pleasure to have you both on the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Jane. Great to be here.
It's an honor. All right. So let's talk about the increasing number of high-profile cybersecurity attacks and breaches over the last year. Give us a sense of how the cyber threat landscape is changing and what issues government agencies are facing today. General Radaghi, why don't we start with you?
Sure, Jane. Well, those are two really big areas. And I would just say that the cyber threat landscape is changing dramatically today. Today, there's more and more victims that I'm seeing across the whole landscape of government and industry users of cyberspace. And this has become very, very serious as far as the number of incidents that are happening. In other words, the bad news is that these incidents are increasing in frequency and scale and impact. And let me just say, what that includes. It includes everything from the hacktivists that we experience every day, the easily conducted but very serious identity theft that's going on, the fraud, the embedded malicious software that's unknown actually to business owners, but that's extracting critical information from their networks on a routine basis. Espionage and the growing globally syndicated criminal activity. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded of our commander of the U.S. Cyber Command who talked about these type incidents, and he said that they are producing the greatest transfer of wealth in our history. And so generally, you name any cyber-related threat like the ones I've talked about, and it's growing significantly. Now, the second point, Jane, you asked me to comment on is government agency issues. And I think they really fall into four fundamental categories. And I know Mike Gellis will be wanting to comment on these today. I would say people, process, technology, and I would add funding also there. First off, in the people area, we need the properly educated and trained workforce with the increasing number of people needed to meet the growing demand that of the areas that I talked about. In the process area, there's three areas that I wanted to mention. First off, having better internal cyber operating procedures. Folks that are in business today are dealing with the social media. They're talking about moving to cloud computing. There's a lot of uncertainty there. You've got to trust others with your organization's crown jewels of data. And there's also a movement that everybody's facing toward more mobile workforce and bring your own device to work. The second process area that I'm seeing hit the minds of people in business and government is for better information sharing so that the cyber workforce that we're talking about today can really stay updated and constantly updated with the growing threats. And then the last couple, technology, having the benefit of having appropriate hardware and software, having the funding levels you need. So those are the four big areas. And these areas really have got everyone hopping because of all the attacks that are coming from all angles and directions today.
So that brings us to all the threats that the general has laid out. So, Mike, you have to have a cyber workforce in place that tries to defend or does defend against those threats that are incoming. So how are agencies doing? Do they have the funding in place to actually mitigate some of that?
Well, do they have the funding in place? I think it's clear to everyone right now that the government's under a pretty restricted funding budget crisis. And that's where I think it becomes important to think about, and maybe we'll get more to this, but the idea of how they begin to develop a work sourcing strategy. So how do they begin to think about well beyond just the technology. And clearly, the generals articulated a landscape that, as you listen today, is quite frightening. In fact, it gets more and more frightening every year. But I would emphasize the fact that the important tool is going to be the workforce and the competencies of the workforce that are going to implement that technology. Specifically, what's the knowledge of the workforce and the awareness of the workforce, and how do we begin to develop just not a workforce and a workforce planning strategy where people have the specific competencies around computer forensics, around technology, but specifically around understanding and being aware so that they don't begin to put organizations in a vulnerable position.
So how do agencies invest for the future? General Radege, as you point out, there's a threat matrix that is becoming more complex, global in nature, wide-ranging. So where do they go? How do they invest to get the most bang for their buck?
Sure. Well, I think there's a number of areas that they can get the most out of what they're working with today. First off, in the area of policy and systems and controls, you know, everyone is struggling today with setting up governance through instructions, policies, and procedures. This takes a trained workforce. You know, folks have really got to know what they're doing there. And also, I think that the agencies are really investing a lot in total enterprise management, including better network tools for better insight, data center consolidation, big data, provisioning and technologies, cloud computing, all of these type things. And Mike, I would just say that, you know, that really takes a great trained workforce, a smart workforce, and one that doesn't become stagnated, you know, that always keeps current. So how do you deal with that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the questions is from a maturity standpoint, where are organizations in terms of their workforce planning around cyber secure workforces? Have they begun to really, and interesting, have they begun from the right sources? Where if you look back from 2011 with a recent GAO report, back to 2002 with the FISMA Act, back all the way back to the Clinger-Cohen Act in 1996, CIOs and CISOs are really responsible for developing this workforce. And I think the concern is, have we begun to really develop the appropriate strategies to, if you will, develop a workforce that links, you know, to the necessary people to implement that technology? Are we defining clearly the roles and responsibilities? Are we identifying the right competencies? And I want to keep those two separate, because the competencies to execute what you're describing also are not individual or separate from the roles and responsibilities that people have to assume to be able to implement a security and a secure workforce.
So how do we get there? I mean, obviously, you have young people going into cyber degree programs like the University of Maryland program, General Radege, that I know that you work with. How do agencies inculcate the kind of workforce and grow the kind of workforce that's needed when we see, you know, young people not necessarily investing in math careers or physics careers or other kinds of careers that would lend themselves to this kind of discipline?
Well, you know, Jane, there is a lot of a full spectrum, in fact, of skills that are needed today in the government and the industry workforce. You mentioned University of Maryland, University College. I've had the privilege of working with them now to define some degree programs, and frankly, they've been very, very successful. A bachelor's degree in cybersecurity, a couple master's degrees in technical and policy, and now UMUC has actually added a brand new forensics and criminal investigation degree program. Just think of that now, this full spectrum of where we're looking for cyber security trained individuals. You know, originally we thought about it more from the STEM area of science, technology, engineering, mathematics, but think about the cyber law perspectives, you know, not only of protecting and giving good advice, trusted advice to your clients, but also the fact that there's going to be litigation, growing litigation in the future where lawsuits are established. So there is a full spectrum of opportunities in what I would call the blue collar, the white collar, and the platinum collar jobs, from the back room to the boardroom and growing beyond that today.
So as I listen to you, General. I mean, I think what it defines for me is a context that's very complex. And when one begins to think about, well, how do you begin to develop a workforce that can begin to address those? How do you begin to identify the skills and capabilities that beyond just the competencies of electronics and forensics and specifically the technology tools, but how do you develop a group of folks that also are going to be have certain levels of integrity, that are going to be able to be attentive to detail, that are going to be able to communicate, collaborate, and really be able to manage all that they need to be aware of in keeping a cyber secure workforce?
Well, these are questions that we're going to have to answer in the next segment because we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. You're listening to Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest today, General Harry Radaghi. And General Radaghi is the chairman of the Deloitte Center for Cyber Innovation. And Mike Gellis. Mike is a director with Deloitte Consulting in the Federal Human Capital Practice in Washington, D.C., who specializes in cybersecurity workforce issues. And we'll come back with more after this.
Federal agencies call on Deloitte for insights, people, and the experience it brings to their most meaningful and challenging problems. Drawing from its broad portfolio of capabilities, global resources, and leading practices across government, Deloitte's federal experience helps clients achieve more today while building a stronger foundation for tomorrow. Learn more at www.deloitte.com/federal. Deloitte, helping government help America.
Welcome back to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte. We're talking today about the state of the cybersecurity workforce with General Harry Radaghi. General Radaghi is the chairman of the Deloitte Center for Cyber Innovation and a director with Deloitte Services. And also Mike Gellis. He's the former chief psychologist for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, or NCIS, and he's a director with Deloitte Consulting, who works in the human capital management area. All right, gentlemen, so my question from the last segment that we just finalized on about the capabilities of the workforce. So what are the capabilities that agencies need in their cyber workforce areas, and how do they get these trained personnel? General Radaghi?
Sure, Jane. Mike, as we were talking just a little bit earlier, you know, the folks that are working in cybersecurity-related areas now, we're finding that it's so complex, it's so broad, that we're now going into specialist areas, not only from the policy perspective, but also the technology perspectives, the legal perspectives. All of this now is starting to fall out into blue, white-collar, and platinum-collar type jobs, as I would refer. You know, I'm reminded of the medical doctor fields, you know, of the specialists that are required. There's general practitioners, but then there's also the specialist. And Dr. Gellis, I might mention that you are a doctor of philosophy, and you specialize in human capital. And so those specialty areas have come out even as with your PhD. I don't know. Do you see this happening in the cybersecurity-related area today?
Well, I think it's a very good metaphor. And I think if one begins to think about how within the cyber workforce one is going to specialize, it's going to have a tremendous impact on the overall workforce planning and the workforce strategy, specifically as that strategy links to the overall strategic objectives of the organization in cyber, which is evolving all the time. I think what's important when we begin to think about it from a specialty area is really getting beyond what traditionally has been sort of position classifications and more into position profiles. And the position profile enables us to look at the very unique and specialized skills that would be required for a given position, the defined roles and responsibilities, and then the determined access for that individual as it relates to being able to accomplish the mission. Because I think what we're also talking about when we talk about a workforce strategy, much like you're describing in terms of having a specialty area across a very complex landscape, how do we manage the roles and responsibilities and the access that people have from the standpoint of keeping information secure and a system from becoming vulnerable by having full access to everything?
Sure. You've got to have the right people. And, you know, I think about how agencies today are building their cybersecurity teams. You know, it really is. It's a daunting job. You know, you've got to recruit and look for the best talent. You've got to then fund for the education and training of these top prospects, you know, both internally and through external sources. You know, a lot of times you can't buy all the talent you need. So you've got to try and contract for that talent. Also, you know, trying to identify and place the most exceptional talent in your organization into the top leadership positions. There's nothing worse than having someone who isn't providing their full potential to the organization in the areas, Mike, that you've talked about. And I think one of the growing concerns today of anyone that's running agencies or activities is the need to try and retain this top talent.
So I think you're hitting on two very key issues around talent management. Obviously, the recruitment and hiring of those folks who possess the right competencies. And I think what we're saying is while OPM has offered a very exhaustive 34 competency list, which is very helpful as a guideline, I think what we're suggesting is if we move to a more specialized area, there are going to be very specific competencies that specifically speak to those position profiles. But the other thing that you're mentioning, General, that I think is important to at least spend a moment on is retention. How do we begin to think about retaining a workforce? And I might say a workforce that is also a new demographic, one that is much more tech savvy as we begin to look at the Gen Y coming into the workforce in larger numbers. That being said, how do we develop retention plans? How do we develop training? You were saying yourself how things evolve so exponentially. How do we get beyond just training and awareness? How do we define and begin to differentiate training to those specific skills and those specific areas of specialty and be able to sustain that just as the bad guys get smarter? How do we be sure that those folks securing our systems in the United States keep getting smarter also?
Sure. Well, Mike, you know, as I think about folks who are leading our agencies today, they've really got a huge task in front of them. And I think the fact that you have to recognize that there's like four different levels of individuals who are working in most of organizations today, and the characteristics of those age groups, you know, the boomer generation, the Generation X, the Generation Y, and the millennials, each one of those four brings great characteristics to the workforce, and they each have good things, and they all have things that they can learn from one of the other generations. And I think that's one of the other tasks for any leader within an organization is to try and bring out the best of all of those four different generations that are now coming into workforces, and also planning for the future when the boomers will be gone and we'll have a younger workforce that we're going to be dealing with, and all that they bring to that organization as far as their need for bringing their own devices to work now, which a lot of security folks in the boomer generation are having concerns about, but they're needing to learn how to be more mobile as our workforce goes there today.
I think as CIOs look at that workforce that you're talking about, the multi-generational workforce, they see, you know, the need to share information. It's become ubiquitous. It isn't just on your personal device anymore. It's your business device, and sometimes those are one and the same, as you point out, General Radtke. So what can be done in terms of the cyber workforce to enable information sharing and yet keep the information that needs to be safe? What's the best methodologies that agencies can be thinking about?
Well, I think in the agencies I've worked with, Jane, you know, the information sharing is not only within your organization, developing the procedures and the processes within, but also looking to the activities that you're going to be working with, other federal government activities if you're in the federal government, and also what you're going to be gaining from working with trusted industry partners. And also what you can pick up as far as information sharing and gaining access to all source information, that there's frankly a lot of it out there on the internet today, and it's being able to try and mine that information so that you can improve the organization and the products and the business operations that you're responsible for.
I think you're right, and I think it's going to come down to really developing some very fundamental strategies. Those strategies that link back to the mission, that support the workforce that executes the mission, and how those policies, the position profiles I've mentioned, and other things that define roles and responsibilities, enablement through technology and tools really help execute the mission. But it has to be the alignment in terms of what are the mission objectives as it relates to cybersecurity, and how do we execute that with a workforce strategy?
Well, when you have any workforce, you have elements that are very positive and, you know, looking to improve the mission of the agency. And then there are always people, and we've experienced this very recently with some release of information, release of documents from the Pentagon that really, you know, nobody wanted out there, but yet they were out there, and there have been prosecutions in place. So your role as a former NCIS psychologist, you know, how do you differentiate between someone in such a sensitive position in the cyber workforce, between someone who is working positively for the agency and maybe is an insider threat?
So the insider threat, of course, exists across all organizations. And with the fact that everything being done today via technology and virtually increases the risk for a variety of different reasons, that notwithstanding, what do organizations need to do to be proactive, to be able to manage a workforce in a secure way? So I think that's where being able to look at how you determine who has access and access to what, so that generic access to systems is not something I think that should be routinely done. And I think we're really thinking hard about that. And that's why I had mentioned the position profiles. The other thing is, how do we continue to keep the workforce educated? How do we keep and develop awareness, more than just the one-time security awareness training, but how do we make it part of the fabric so that we fight against probably one of the greater risks that we need to address, and that's complacency. And how is it that, you know, really complacency can be something that an insider unwittingly facilitates? And being able to keep the systems secure and a workforce secure is going to require, you know, an ongoing sense of awareness, but something that becomes part of the fabric and not just something that one does annually on the computer.
Well, Mike, you're absolutely right. You know, the insider threat is becoming a very serious concern with all the organizations that I'm working with, be they government or C-suite activities in industry. In fact, a lot of them are the organizations are developing the internal controls for the insider threat, not only against the naivety of an insider threat, of where people don't have the awareness or the education to know that you don't double click on an attachment that isn't going to allow all this malicious software to enter in through your very protected network because you opened the back door and allowed the individual in. So there's the naivety, but there's also this growing concern that government and industry has now of the individual inside who wants to have a better lifestyle, and somebody out there is willing to make it better by providing them with resources or to pay for access. And so this is becoming a growing concern, and our nation and the nations of the world have always had this kind of insider type threat where someone will sell their organization and sell their soul to make their life a little happier.
So it's important to recognize that it goes well beyond just the technology, that it really does have a lot to do with people. And to some extent, you're talking about folks who become disgruntled, those who feel devalued. I think it goes back to a workforce environment where there's respect and regard for each other, where there's collaboration, and where we become sensitized to issues that might be arising in the workplace, specifically with people who have access to very sensitive systems and can cause tremendous risk based on just complacency.
So what role do managers play in that oversight, and just to ensure that they have people in place that are acting appropriately?
Well, obviously, managers have a tremendous role in this. The leadership, it has to start right at the top in making the proper investments in all this. Today, leaders and managers are betting their business on protecting their data and their intellectual property. And many now are realizing in both government and industry that human capital is the top priority. It takes priority even over hardware and software, frankly, because you can defeat hardware and software without the proper educated, trained, and aware individuals. So underinvestment by an organization can leave your activity really hanging out there with the higher risk and the vulnerable and being very vulnerable to serious and potentially devastating cyber attacks.
So I think it's really creating that risk-managed culture where there is an attitude and an understanding about what we're trying to protect. It goes back to developing a secure workforce from who we recruit and what we recruit for, how do we train and develop, and how do we sustain that in a culture that is secure around cybersecurity.
And we best do that by monitoring, right?
Well, I think it's more than just monitoring. Monitoring is one piece of it. I think it's the engagement with the workforce from the leadership down.
Well, gentlemen, it's been an honor and a pleasure to be on the air with you again today. So thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for listening. General Harry Radaghi is the former director of the Defense Information Systems Agency, and he's now the chairman of the Deloitte Center for Cyber Innovation and a director at Deloitte Services. Mike Gellis is a former chief psychologist for the Naval Criminal Investigative Service and currently a director with Deloitte Consulting. Thanks very much for listening today. You've been listening to Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jane Norris.
This has been Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, with Jane Norris, your host. Make sure to tune in again in 2 weeks for another edition of Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and on federalnewsradio.com/FedCentral.